Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
If you're an actor, an actress, if you're a singer, songwriter, if you're up on the stage, you get celebrated big time. This is like celebration season. They have an awards banquet, it seems like every other weekend, doesn't it? It's the Oscars, it's the Golden Globes, it's something that we're going to celebrate, and they just run around town congratulating themselves and handing out trophies all of the time. They dress up for it, they call all their family and friends in, and we're going to celebrate us because we're awesome. I'm a model and I look good, so I need a trophy. And I've got a really neat voice, and so you need to give me a trophy for that. Yet, in the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom that's upside down. And here at Fairmount Friends, we don't want to just celebrate the person on the stage. We want to celebrate the servant and celebrate the person who's behind the scenes, the person that's really been working to pull a lot of stuff off. You know, the term celebrity simply means one who is celebrated. And so today we're going to celebrate servants that have served in this house for decades. And we're going to make their name something that we celebrate here in our time today. We want to celebrate the servant. We're going to give out what we have called the Servant Heart Award today. What's something that we could say that we just want to have more of in the church? Maybe perhaps something we say that we could never have enough of. There's a couple things that I can think of that we as a church, we could definitely have enough of, and it's old, donated couches to our youth ministry. We've got plenty of those. We appreciate it, but we're at this point going to have to decline and say thanks, but no thanks. Something else that might be something that you might have too much of, and you can probably name all of those things in your own home. You're like, oh my gosh, could we please declutter a little bit in here? But I'll tell you, there's one thing that a church will never say that we have too much of, and that is the heart of a servant. Somebody that says, I want to come in and serve and to lay my life down and to give back to others. Never will we say, whoa, we've got too much of that going on. Perhaps in Quaker churches around, that we don't get rid of anything. Perhaps we have too many pews just in the hallways, pews in children's classes. Maybe we have Indiana Yearly Meeting Minutes books from 1946. And I'm not kidding about that. We do have that. But never too much servanthood, the mindset of what it takes to become a servant. There's a big difference between a volunteer and a servant. To volunteer is something that we do, but a servant is who I am. It's an identity. It's taking on the personification. It's to identify as a person, as a mindset, as a belief system, and what I do flows out of who I am. So because I believe that I'm a servant, therefore I will serve, or I will volunteer, or I'll give of my time. I'll give back. But we want to focus in on what I like this term, Craig Rochelle says, we want to focus on who before do. And if we can get the who right, then we'll get the do right. And I want to get our who locked in on becoming a servant. And then what we do will be to give our lives away to others in ministry. And so the who comes before the do. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Before we get too far along the way, there's a few other people that I see here. Taylor University is representing today. Taylor, where y'all at? Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that was actually pretty embarrassing. Taylor, where are you at? Yeah, there it is, better. Okay, whenever I was getting ready, and as a kid, I was wanting to grow up, and I had kind of some drawings and some wooings I felt towards ministry or to preaching or to teaching. We had one of those, the old picture box that my grandparents would call it, the television, and we would have to actually get up and change the channels with your hand, and you could churn the channels. Anybody churn them? You churn the channels, and if you got it a little wonky, it would come off in your hand. Y'all remember that? And then it's in your hand, and then we would play catch with it, and then you would lose it, and then you had to churn the channels with needle nose pliers. Anybody? You had to do that. So you had to lock it in there, and then you churn the channels, and then we would just leave the pliers because we could never find the channel changer. So we would just leave them there. And we had the antenna, and as those rabbit ears came out, and then eventually those wore down, so then you put aluminum foil around the ends of those, and you kind of twist them, and if the weather was right, you could get some channels on the picture box. So we had 6, 8, and 13, as everybody did, but we also got channel 40. Anybody remember channel 40 back in the day? Channel 40, yeah. All of you other weirdos that grew up as Christians in the church, you guys know that all we had was channel 40, and so we were watching Andy Griffith and Gilligan's Island, Beverly Hillbillies, anybody? Come on, I'm talking to the right crowd. But then who would come on later was Rod Parsley. Brother Rod Parsley from Harvest Bible. And he would get on there and he would preach. And man, did he have some soul down in him. And man, I wanted to preach and teach like Brother Rod Parsley. And he would get up, man, he would shuck the corn. And man, he would fire you up. And my 10-year-old self is like, I'm fired up. Yeah, sure, I'll give. I have 30 cents, but I'll write a check. You know, you're like motivated, right? You're fired up for this guy. And what ministry began to look like for me is my parents got me into church, and we were there Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night, and they were elders and deacons on the church, and so there'd be times when they would have a elder board meeting, and so they're sitting in the pastor's office while my sister and I are sitting out in the hallway and just like sitting, probably playing catch with a channel changer, and that was like what life was growing up. And then what ministry began to look like for us is after the service was over, my dad and I, we would walk the aisles and we would pick up trash, and then we would pick up gum wrappers and pick up bulletins that people left. And at Heartland Ministry, as the church began to grow, we built an all-purpose facility that was like a gym that the services moved into. So we got to church early and we set up chairs. And then after service was over, then we tore those chairs down and put them right back into the closet. Ministry didn't look like the stage. It looked a lot like serving. Yesterday, what it looked like was hosting a wedding here for someone that doesn't go to church here, that's not even in our community, but it looked like running the sound system. I said, yeah, I can hit play. I can open up the doors. I can pick up rose petals after everybody leaves, and it's the greatest day of their life, as they should be running out of the doors celebrating. Then someone comes from behind and cleans up afterwards. The guys actually did a better job of cleaning up their room. The girls dumped makeup on the tables. And I don't understand that. I think that makeup looks better on your face than on the table, but it looked like in the afternoon here yesterday is wiping makeup off the tables. It looks different. Perhaps, then maybe what we always think. It's just serving. It's taking my life and laying it down to serve someone else. It really, really does look different than maybe what we think. I know that there's times when I feel like, man, I should have been able to give more to our church family on Sunday morning. And then I feel a little bit conviction back from the Lord. He's like, Brock, they need more from you Monday through Saturday. That was a cute message, real slick, like the PowerPoint. But they need you to serve Monday through Saturday. It's more of laying down our life than having cool moments and asking the Lord, what are the big things that you've called me to, these workmanship moments that you have planned before time, that eventually you'll begin to walk into. Maybe for some of y'all, you're sitting in here and you're a high school student or you're a college student, and you're thinking, man, what is it going to look like for me? I would just say, man, just find a teacher that needs somebody to help and to serve. Come alongside your professor and say, professor, what is it that I can maybe show up early and begin to serve? And I'll tell you, servanthood opens the heart like rarely anything else on the planet. More than giving money or giving gifts, it's somebody to be in life with them and to help shoulder the load. Maybe you're thinking, man, I want to do this, and I want to go down in this career path. You know what? I would just find somebody that's in that career path and say, hey, can I come alongside and serve you? And just, I wonder, if God puts a special anointing on servants, that he begins to open doors. That if we're faithful in little things, that he begins to allow us to reign and rule over much. It really is a biblical principle. It's the way of the servant. Maybe you're asking, God, what do these works look like that you've prepared me for? And I would just say, Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over much. Maybe it's finding a leader in your community, and you're just saying, hey, can I help lift the load? What are some things that you're walking in that I can come in and help serve? Another way that a volunteer is different than a servant is a volunteer keeps track. A volunteer tallies. If you don't know that, then you need to lead a group of volunteers, and they'll let you know how often they've been here, and they'll remind you. Sometimes I'll get phone calls from the high school, and students want to see, hey, can I serve with you or volunteer with you, because I have so many volunteer hours that I need, and you need, if you could sign this paper, because I'm in National Honor Society. I got nothing against National Honor Society. I love National Honor Society. My son's in National Honor Society. National Honor Society is a long word. I'm just going to start saying NHS from now on. NHS, I'm all about it. But they'll say, hey, can I get, I got to get 100 hours of volunteer hours, and I need to count every single one. And if I come over and I take out your trash and I open up your doors, or I do this for your next event and I pass out candy at the Halloween party, will you check off some hours, because I need to belong to a group? And if I can do these things, then I can belong, and then I get a t-shirt. It's true. And so we'll count and we'll tally, we'll keep track. And the servant says, man, I'm just here to lay my life down. How can I tally up my life? I'll just give it. I'm just going to give my life in servanthood. Not about volunteering, but to really give it away in servanthood. It was probably a couple months ago now, but I came over to the church one night. It was a Wednesday night. It's probably 8 o'clock at night. And I walk down to the basement, and I see Carla Shelton sitting down there. And she's got a handful of women, and she's going through a book study. And my heart is like melting. Carla never turns in hours. Carla doesn't say, hey, I've been leading this area of ministry. I at least can get a gift card, can I? Carla's not keeping track. Carla says, no, my life is a servant. I will serve. What, there's a ministry that someone that I can lead and go through a book study and try to help women come along in their life? Okay, I'll lay my life down. I will serve in this area. A servant is one that's connected their mindset to a heavenly reward rather than just to monetary or to gift cards. It's saying, I'm doing something for a much larger audience, and that the Lord is pleased with me. It's connecting their work into worship and seeing that there is one that will give the reward. It's much deeper than getting a check. It's getting favor. with the Father. That was like 10 good seconds of inspiration right there. Not only is volunteering different than being a servant, but how many of y'all know a servant is very much different than being an employee? An employee feels the freedom to give some feedback. An employee can begin to say things like, "You're lucky I'm here. You got me on your team, and you ought to be grateful for that." An employee can say, "We might want to change some things around here." And as employees can have feedback, and as leaders, we should always be open to feedback. But they also can say that if I don't like it, then I'm out of here. Because you're connected through a contract rather than being connected in covenant. Covenant says you have my heart. A contract says you have me as long as we both agree on the terms. And a covenant is much deeper. It's saying I give you my life, and life is what I get back in return. Can you imagine the 12 disciples, Jesus calling them into ministry and saying, "Hey, come and follow me." And just before they drop their nets, they're like, "Can we please just talk about the 401k plan real quick? Can we go over this insurance package? Jesus, I've seen what happens to people around you and they die. Can I at least get like some life insurance? Can we talk about some benefits first?" There was no negotiation. They said, "My life is yours. I'm in. What do you need? And I'm going to lay my life down for this. I'm going all in on this thing." A servant says, "I am here. I will help. I have no agenda. I have no secret agenda. I'm not maneuvering. Where can you use me? I'll dive in. I will serve the Lord by serving his people." That's the heart of a servant. Or if we would even go deeper, the term that the Bible uses is bond servant. The term bond servant, the Apostle Peter calls himself a bond servant. The Apostle Paul calls himself a bond servant. So how you became a bond servant was this, is if you owed a debt that you could not pay, you were then arrested and taken into jail. Once you were in jail and you could no longer work to pay off your debt, you were stuck. Until someone came and they said, "We need some people to work on our farm. We need people to work in our kingdom," whether it was the king or it was a big landowner, and he would buy them to use them as slaves, not to be abusive or to hurt them, but as slaves until they were able to pay back their debt and then get back into society. And so to be a bondservant, they would come in and they would pay your bond. They would buy you by paying your debt. And then you would work for 7 years until you paid off your debt, and then you were set free. Unless the debt was so great that 7 years did not equal what you really owed. It was even so much more, and they paid more than enough to try to get you back. Your heart was so moved with gratitude that you were no longer in chains, you were no longer locked in prison, you were no longer starving to death, you were no longer sleeping in fecal matter and in disgusting chambers. You were actually out amongst the land of the living, in the sun, working, being engaged with actually human life, that you would willingly say, "You know what, to the person who bought you, I will give you my life, and I will become at this point now a bond servant." What they would do is they would take a nail, they would pierce their ear, and they were tagged, kind of like what we do with cattle today, where you take a staple and you tag them. They would be tagged with a certain brand or a mark. They would be pierced in their ear, saying, "I belong to this person because they paid a debt that I could not pay. And they came in and they ransomed my life when I had nothing left. I was a debtor. I could not pay back what I had done. But this person came in and paid my debt and set me free. I will willingly give you back my life." And the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul likened themselves unto that. And they said, "I'm a bondservant for Christ because he paid my debt and he set me free. And now I voluntarily give my life to him." They didn't have to get pierced up and tatted up. And you can do that if you want to, I guess. But Lois, you look like you're about to get all pierced up and tatted up. I can see it, man. I'm a bondservant. I can see it. But we see this. We see it in the person of Christ. And as Jesus is asking us to be servants, he's saying, I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not willing to do, because I took the nails and I pierced myself in my hands and in my feet. And I'm asking, would you be willing to pierce your heart to where you would say, my life is not my own, and I want to give and serve back to Jesus? It really is a much deeper thing than just volunteering and signing up to run the elevator. It's saying, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm serving. If there's a chance to serve, then man, do I want to serve. And I want to serve you by serving your people. He's inviting us to do great things for him. There's this passage of scripture where Jesus says, greater works shall you do than what I have done. Man, whenever I think about that, I think about, man, I want to preach and teach. I want to heal. I want to raise the dead. I want to walk on water. That's the stuff that I want to do. But I look at what the great work that Christ did, what the Bible calls the finished work, or it says the completed work of Christ. It's whenever he became the servant of all. I did not come to serve, but I came to, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to lay my life down as a ransom for many. And as he was pierced as a servant, it says that was the finished and complete work of Christ. The greatest work, perhaps, that we could do is to partner with Christ in serving those around us. The greatest work, what if it actually looked like you becoming a servant? What if it looked like picking up after the service? What if it looked like you showing up for whatever the meals were, or it looked like you giving back to the community? Sometimes what it looks like for me is serving in the community with elementary sports. This year I coached a fourth grade girls team. That was wild. Then I coached a sixth grade boys team. We'll get them together. We'll pray together. There's young men there that just have a pretty tough situation and not parents around, and you're just trying to love on them and encourage them where they're at. You're trying to build long-lasting relationships. It's an act of service unto the Lord by serving others around. There's just ways like, God, what is it that you're calling me to do? You have prepared for me some pretty awesome works and things to do with my life, and I want to. What are they? They're probably going to look like serving and serving others. This morning, as we kind of pivot here, we have three people that we are going to celebrate today by giving away the Fairmount Friends Servant Heart Award. These three people have served in the area of Christian education, ministry and oversight, a part of our monthly meeting, nominating committee. But the biggest ones that I want to focus in on is the kitchen and funeral committees. This is a particular committee that provides so much comfort to families when they're going through the hardest day of their life. We do a lot more funerals here than just for people in our church. We do a lot of funerals for people in our community. Fairmount Friends is the place that sometimes people are calling, can you help? One of the things that we had, and I had the awesome fortune of working alongside Kathy Price for years as she held down our kitchen committee and our funeral committee. So after the funeral would wrap and we were on our way to the cemetery, to the burial site, Kathy and I had this little thing, and I would text her, Kathy, we're leaving the funeral home, we're now heading to the burial site. So then she knew, and she had her squad, man, their team was ready down in the basement. And they knew, okay, we've got probably 15 to 20 minutes before everyone starts showing up. And then I would come in and I would walk downstairs to the basement, and I remember walking down, and as I'm walking down in there, there was always just those consistent faces. I remember seeing Jane Peacock, and she would be there, always hair on point. Jane smells incredible. Jane, can I tell them what you wear? Is it called Sweet Passion? Sensual. No, it's called Sensual passion. Oh my gosh. Jane, we're Quakers. Good night. Before you leave, make sure you smell Jane. Woo! It's getting hot in here. And I remember walking down, and I would turn the corner, and I would go into the kitchen. And one of my first stops, I always want to check in with the kitchen committee and with the team, and are we ready, and is everything set? And I would come in, and Lois Painter is standing there. I'd say, Lois, you're here again. Like, you're always here for these things. And smiling like only Lois Painter can smile. And she shrugs her shoulders. And she says, it's just what we do. It's just what we do. It's what we do. Come on, men and women of God. It's what we do. And the basement's about to fill full of people grieving. It's the worst day of their life. It's what we do. And we show up in that moment. And we're here to serve. And we're going to give some food. And we're going to give some hugs. And we're going to love. When it's the worst day, we're going to show up and serve. It's the power of just showing up. It's what we do. Day in, day out, we're laying our lives down. People, I don't know what it looks like. Maybe it's serving in the community, serving at the school, coaching the team, picking up after the service, whatever, but saying, Jesus, my life is not my own. I do not walk in these doors as a consumer. I walk in as a servant. And I'm thinking about being a bondservant. I'm tagged, I'm marked, and I want to lay my life down in service for you. I'm not keeping track. If we're going to keep tallies, then we're going to be in debt for a long time, because what he did is more than enough for us to say, yes, Lord, and to give our lives back to him. There's a couple times that we see, I say a couple, there's many times that we see food in Scripture. But as we're talking about our kitchen and funerals committee, I just want to share a couple verses where Jesus takes the little boy's lunch. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's got enough for a couple fish sandwiches. And Jesus does something pretty supernatural. Anybody ever thought about, why is this little boy walking around with unrefrigerated fish out in the Middle East? Unless he had like a Yeti cooler backpack. And I don't know, I wasn't there. He may have. But Jesus is like, cool, dude, I like this. I'm gonna use this. What is it that you've got? Even if it's not much, what is it that you've got? Because I want to do something pretty supernatural. If you've ever served on that kitchen committee, sometimes we make way too much food, and sometimes you wonder, geez, is there going to be enough? Have you ever noticed there is always enough? Whether he supernaturally multiplied it or what, I don't know, but there's always enough. Here's what just happened. It was the worst day of Jesus as his buddy, his cousin, his best friend, John the Baptist was just beheaded. This is Matthew chapter 14. John the Baptist was just beheaded. How many of y'all know there's never a convenient time to answer that phone to go serve someone else? Yet, a family member of Jesus just died, and 5,000 phone calls show up saying, we're following you out in the desert, and now we're hungry. Jesus says, man, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. He takes the food. He supernaturally multiplies it. How about King David? He shows up with lunch for his brothers. He's like, hey guys, I got a couple cold cuts here. Swung by Subway. Here's an option for you. And then the next thing you know, he's walking out to slay a giant. He just shows up faithful with some food, and God does something supernatural. There was this meal that they called the Last Supper. I think it was kind of a big deal. It was the last moment Jesus was with his guys, and he just wanted to eat with them. And as Jesus blessed it and he passed it around, he's like, guys, let's dig in. But this is like my body. This is my blood. And we see that there was some pretty supernatural stuff that started taking place. One guy who kept tallies, he kept records, and it was Judas. And Judas' heart got a little wonky with Jesus. Judas' heart was more connected to money than it was to his master. And Judas makes a deal. And then Judas goes and kills himself. It got dark quick. It got dark real quick. Then there was one that laid his head on Jesus' breast. The Apostle John, who lives for 100 years, and many believe he was the author, John of Patmos, who wrote the book of Revelation. There was one life that got incredibly blessed. I just want to ask us, what are some things that perhaps God is saying, you know what, I would love for you just to give whatever that you have. What is it that you have? That fish, those loaves of bread, and serve, because I have great plans that I've already called you to, even beforehand, that I'm working and maneuvering in your life. Can you be faithful in the little? Because I want to make you ruler over much. It's the heart of a servant. And so this morning, I want to call up a few names as we celebrate in Fairmount. We want to celebrate the servant. I want to ask Pastor Andrew to join me as he comes up. And what we want to do is we're giving out 3 different awards today. 3 ladies, all of their last names begin with P. Isn't that fun? And also, check this out. In the alphabet, we got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and then we have J, K, and L, all in a row, too. If you like words, stuff like that kind of works for you. But I want to call their names, and they will come forward. And then we are going to give a Fairmount Friends celebration and applause for them. These are people that have served, and I'll name off some years, in the kitchen committee for 60 years. The missions committee for over a decade. They've volunteered in the nursery. They've served on the nominating committee. Been a part of the children's ministry for more than 4 decades. For 30 years, served in different areas of the church. And now we want to celebrate these 3 women with the Fairmount Friends Servant Heart Award. Our first recipient is Lois Painter. Lois, will you come forward? Our next recipient. Come on, girl. Come this way, Lois. Come this way. Can you come this way, Lois? And yeah. Dan will help you. Our next recipient is Jane Peacock. And our final recipient is Kathy Price. That's why all your family's out there. I didn't know that. Pastor Andrew, will you grab these? Oh, yeah, you go ahead. Will you grab these? You guys can all have a seat real quick. You want to grab one, and I'll grab one. Miss Lois, we want to give you a... Now, this is heavy. You got it?
I got it.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I got it. This is our Servant Heart Award, and an appreciation of your years of outstanding service and dedication. Thank you for truly making a difference. The Servant of the Year for our 2022 and our Fairmount Friends Servant Heart Award. To Lois, it's the same award for Jane and for Kathy.
Thank you.
Watch yourself. Don't bump that. Yeah. Do you want me to set this right here? Okay. Excellent. And now all of your families are here, and perhaps was a little bit of a surprise. And Lois, you didn't even realize that all of your family was sitting behind you. And as I came in and I was greeting your family, they're like, shh. So we wanted to celebrate you, that your families are here as well. In just a moment, as we will dismiss, we're going to invite all of your families to come forward, and we want to get pictures with you that we also then want to frame. And if we can have you three ladies together, that we would get a picture, and then also all of your families together as well. You saw somebody else?
Yeah, Bridger, I didn't see him.
Yeah. Bridger just makes all of our hearts feel better.
He does.
Yeah, he does. He does have that. As we just preached this morning, it is about the servant in this house. And I can't think of three women who have done it better. And I'll tell you, it has been a joy to worship Jesus alongside you as we serve the people of our community. Some people can do it and can have good attitudes or bad attitudes. And they have had amazing attitudes. And it's been full of joy all of the time. All three of these women kind of retired from the kitchen and funeral committee all together at the same time. And you hate to lose one, but you lost three all at once. But I'll tell you, they have done a great job of just replacing with the very next generation. And the next generation, we've got the best, and the next generation is off and running with it. And so I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, women, so much for all the years of service. And also this, the families didn't sign up for it. The women did. But the families many times do end up having to sign up. Mom has to go make the casserole tonight, or mom's got to be, or my wife is gone because she's serving. And many times we all sacrifice. If somebody offers to serve, many times the entire family sacrifices. So I just want to celebrate all the families here as well that you have given some big time to Fairmount Friends and to our community. We're going to close here in just a moment, and Pastor Andrew, I would ask that you would pray a blessing over our women here.
Let's pray. God, so often what we desire is just to be led by example, and what examples we have here. Just women that are after you, women who said yes, time and time and time and time again. So God, as we go from this house, and we get to claim this as our house, a house that is yours, but we get to serve in. God, that we don't keep track or keep score, but to say that, God, we love you. And because we love you, we love others, and we love hard, and we love deep, and we take care of one another. God, would we do the same for these three as we continue to be a part of a church family? God, thank you for the life and the legacy and the lasting impact of Lois Painter and Jane Peacock and Kathy Price. Thank you for their lives and all the life that is to come. We celebrate them, and we thank you, Lord, for the gifts that they are. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I know. Thank you, church. We are dismissed.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.